Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. With great, great happiness and anticipation, I am entering this class, which is not just a class, it is an invitation to a journey. We will hear today the secrets of chanting the holy name of no one else than Gop Kumar. I'm smiling and laughing, and please forgive me for being a little inattentive. I have to find this and the song of Gop Kumar, because I want to sing it with all of you. So maybe I should first find it. So I'm smiling because I always wanted to give this class at Giriraj Govardhan's Hill, and this is my chance. Hare Krishna. So just please 1 second. I need to just Shyama Sakhi, bitte komm einmal hierher. One moment. Actually, the best is Madhavananda. I will request Shyama Sakhi to please give this to Madhavananda to find this. See, Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda, and give it to her, and then Shyama Sakhi kindly write it down. I have seen it in there, but just now I can't find it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. As you know, this afternoon session is kept aside to hearing from great examples in chanting the holy name. The reason is that we want to emulate their behavior. Emulate means something like follow, and through the following absorb what they have. At least that's my definition of what it means to today picking Gop Kumar because it was here at Giriraj's lotus feet where Gop Kumar met his exalted spiritual master Jayjanta, who instructed him into the chanting of the holy name. Some scholars of Brihad Bhagavatamrita hold that Jayjanta is really no one else than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but this is only an interesting perspective for us, because I have not heard it from elsewhere, but I think it is very likely, because the Lord said that he himself became the spiritual master, and that in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita it says that Jayanta apparently appeared at the banks of Mother Ganga. in one of the commentaries this can be found. But Krishna, as we know, is the sum total spiritual master, the Samasti Guru, and he does appear in the Vyasti Guru, so it could also mean something else. Good. I would like to enter this katha, first of all, the subject in the form of a katha, and then we would distill some teachings from what we hear. Krishna got up early in the morning, and true to his nature of being the dearmost friend of his devotees, he went with his flute to all the doors of the cowherd boys. It was easy for Krishna to do this because he is Krishna. He went, stood before the door, and then with his divine flute playing woke up his Sakas, saying, "Why are you late, Sakas? We want to go to the forest together." We know why the Sakas were late. During the night, the cowherd boys had woken up many times, not because of the old man's syndrome to go to the bathroom. No, they had another urge. They had come to the palace of Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and had knocked at the door, thinking now it must be the time where we go out with Krishna to play in the forest. Yashoda had opened the door and said, "Again you are here? You were already three times here, but it is still night. My Gopal is resting. Can't you just sleep also? In the morning you will go with my Gopal, but now let him sleep." The cowherd boys were so impatient, so eager to be with Krishna, that they always said, "Is it morning?" When they woke up, "It must be morning. It must be morning. Where we go with our Gopal to the forest. It must be." So they had gone and run in the night many times to the palace of Nanda Baba. And so often they had called, "Gopal, let's go, let's go. Chalo, chalo, cowherding boy." Finally, when the morning actually came, they were fast asleep. So Krishna came out of the palace discreetly, expanded into many forms, and went to the houses of all his friends. He stood shyly before the door, just like a friend stands shyly before the door of the other friend because maybe the parents come out, and softly blew his flute. "Wake up, Sridham," the flute said. "Wake up, Shubal. O Stoka Krishna, Angsu, come, let's start." So all the cowherd boys responded to the flute call and they ran out of their houses to start the day. So Gop Kumar, or let us call him Swarup, is one of the cowherd boys who was one morning on his way to Krishna's palace to join the cowherd pastimes of his dear friend Krishna. But something very unusual happened. Srimati Radharani stopped him on the way and said, "There's someone in one of the innumerable universes who needs your help. Please now go into the material world and instruct that someone who is an ignorant Brahmana. He is a servant of Lord Krishna who just doesn't know how to reach his lotus feet." You know, this is Radharani. The mercy of Radharani is such that, yes, she becomes attentive to anyone who wants to reach the lotus feet of her beloved and serve him. And then Srimati makes an arrangement. Now, Swarup, that's his name in the spiritual world, understood that to follow the order of Srimati Radharani is even more blissful than going to Krishna. So without hesitation, he followed that order and went into the Vrindavan, which is manifested here in this world, near Keshigat, where he took shelter in the best of kunjas and waited. Now, you must know a little bit of the architecture or the design of the forest of Vrindavan. There's a forest area, but then there are kunjas. These are something like enclosures in the forest, which are made from trees and flower bearing or vines, which climb around the trees. And these tree formations form almost like little houses which have an interior area which is usually where usually a pastime bed is placed, and then they have a terrace from where the forest of Vrindavan can be overlooked. All this is and then there is a gate from also plants. Everything is provided by the forest of Vrindavan, and it is made like this, you know, little forest houses or tree houses or flower vine tree houses, you should say, by the arrangement of Brinda Devi and her helpers, the goddesses of the forests, no? Who arranged and protect and take care of the forest of Vrindavan to make it really a place which provides such secret trysting places for Radha and Krishna and so on. So near Keshigat there was also one of these very beautiful and very secretive and very nicely kept little kunjas, and Gopkumar Swarup, this personality from the spiritual world, went into one and waited. And no associate of Krishna will just sit and wait like we wait. He started to sing the many names of Krishna, and as he was singing these names of Krishna, he was remembering the time where he would now normally join Krishna and go with him in the forest. So his kirtan, his singing became imbued with so much yearning for Krishna's association. He was now on a mission which Srimati Radharani had given him, but nevertheless he remembered, oh, I would now meet Krishna. And his singing became tearful, and as he sang, he emitted an effulgence which tinged the whole kunja and then the surrounding forest into an transcendental light. So as this is going on, this ignorant Brahmana who will receive the mercy of this great associate of Krishna comes. He comes from Assam, and he is on his and he is on his spiritual journey, and I will not go so much in the detail. He had been directed by Lord Shiva to come to Vrindavan. So he is going on a, you know, like we,
goes through the forest of Vrindavan, little ignorant, maybe looking left and right, and all of a sudden he hears a sound. We also hear sound now. But that sounds like a interesting kirtan amplified with a totally dysfunctional loudspeaker system. So he hears the singing of this personality, and he follows the sound, curious, just like we would maybe follow when we would not be in the lecture, this type of sound, and think, what's going on there? It captured his interest, the sound, and he follows like a bee which follows the scent. He follows the sound and comes into this enclosed forest area and sees a personality leaning against a tree who sings, and he has never ever so far seen such a personality. The associates of Krishna look so absolutely remarkable and unforgettable because in their hearts there is so much love for Krishna. Have you ever looked into the eyes of a loving person? Have you done this? Maybe your child, when your child was full of love, or a friend, you know, or those who are married, maybe in a romantic way. When you look into the eyes of a loving person, you actually become drawn into the eyes, into the world of that person. The last time this happened to me, I looked into the eyes of a monkey who loved me, you know, in Govinda Kund, and I was falling into the well of his eyes. It was an amazing experience. So he comes into the heart of Gop Kumar and just asks Gop Kumar, who are you? And Kaisa hai, I think you say in Hindi, you know, Kaisa hai, or what Krishna, Rupa? Kaun hai? What are you? Who are you? What? You know, he is curious. And Swarup knows immediately, this is the person which Radharani wanted me to inform about things he doesn't know, which will help him to reach Krishna. But he also knows he's a little ignorant, and he tells him, in order to awaken his interest, he tells him this his story. I remember many years ago I was riding in a Dodge van, this American van, in Washington with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and Radhanath Maharaj said, you know, so many devotees have asked me to write down my story, but I'm hesitant. I don't want to tell my story because I fear self-praise a little, and criticism also. What do you think? And I told him, well, to tell one's own story, if it's a real story, which comes, how one comes to Krishna consciousness, has a certain power. It brings people who are not on the path to think, well, if he did this interesting journey, I might also try, and maybe I also make such interesting experiences. And I said, this is the technique which is applied by Narada, who was it? Yes, Narada Muni to Vyasadev in order to motivate him. And one of our great Vaishnava Granths, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, is about a protagonist, that means someone who is on the spiritual journey, brings it to the end, who wants to preach to a Brahmana. and to, through the Brahmana to all of us. So it's, I said it's Morje. Morje means okay, as far as I know. So in order to generate faith in the spiritual subjects which Swarup wants to tell this ignorant Brahmana who's searching for Krishna but has no idea how to find him, he begins to tell his own story, and embedded in his story he will tell him a few secrets which we will discuss today. So I will make the story very brief, but I will concentrate on the embedded secrets of that story this afternoon. Swarup tells him, in this world the people knew me by the name Gop Kumar. I was a young cowherd boy. I lived near sacred Giriraj. And I would herd the cows, but often meet an extraordinarily renounced Brahmana who was as beautiful as a god, and who was wandering from place to place. This Brahman would always do the glorification of Krishna's names. At various times I saw him engaged in recitation, or he would do meditation about Krishna's names. Sometimes I saw him laughing, dancing, crying, and then singing. At times he would shout, "O Krishna! O Damodar! O Govinda! Save me!" And then he would fall on the ground and roll in the dust like a madman. He perspired profusely. There was saliva in his mouth, and the dust of Vrindavan would cover him in a grayish and then blackish way. What a ecstasy. He would lie on the ground for many hours, sobbing uncontrollably, "O Krishna! O Madhava! O Govinda!" Then he would faint and fall and lose consciousness in ecstasy, while the mucus and saliva, Shri mucus and saliva, Shri saliva, turned everything around him into a blackish mud. Sometimes he would lie for hours still like a corpse. Remember when we spoke about the general of the best of devotees in the Manakshiksha seminar? So now Gop Kumar tells the story. I will go a little bit fast now. He says that one day that Brahmana called him and tells him, "I want to give you mantra diksha. Go and take your bath in the Yamuna. When you're clean, come back." After all, he is a coward boy, you know, covered with dust. And so Gop Kumar follows and comes back, and then he gives him the Gopal mantra. It's a mantra I can't tell you. It's very secret. It's mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but you need to be really the best of Sanskrit scholars, because it is coded, you know, like the Da Vinci Code. You know, it's really encoded, and you really need to crack the code in order to get the mantra out of the book. But that's very difficult. Wait until you receive it in sacred initiation, then that's a better way. So he gets the same mantra which this Brahmin from Pragyotishapur, in a place in Assam, had received, and he chants this mantra, and while he chants this mantra, he is overcome with divine love and sometimes begins to cry like a woman who is separated from her lover, and He feels embarrassed. Gop Kumar doesn't know. This mantra does something to me. It's like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Gauranga Mahaprabhu says to his guru, "You've given me the Maha Mantra, but I dance and sing. What type of mantra have you given me? I'm going mad." So he also feels like this. We hear that this mantra is so powerful, if you chant it, it makes you run after Krishna. So the Brahmana, during initiation, wants to explain to Gop Kumar what this mantra means. But as he talks, he becomes so ecstatic that he falls again on the ground. And when he finally wakes up, he gets up and moves away. And Gop Kumar doesn't hear the instructions how to chant the mantra and what is the meaning of the mantra, because his guru disappears in the midst of the instruction. So Gop Kumar keeps on reciting this mantra and sets out on a long journey to find the devata of this mantra. Now this is a very important principle. When you receive a mantra, your interest should be, first of all, you should know in the mantra you find personalities. You know, encoded in the letters of the mantra, you find the personalities. Like, let us use the Hare Krishna mantra. Who is inside the Hare Krishna mantra? Any idea? Radha and Krishna. You know everything. By the way, in this holy land, Radha and Krishna is the right answer to everything. You know? So he now, coming from this exalted culture, wants to meet the personality of his mantra, who happens to be Madan Gopal. And this is what happens when you start to chant a mantra in a way which is as deep, you know, not this in one ear, out the other ear chanting, but when you allow your consciousness to be imprinted by the mantra, you actually change, your subtle body changes. That's why someone who chants Hare Krishna, you can always tell him, you are a Hare Krishna. He can try to hide himself and dress in a wig. I used to, when I was going to the Eastern Bloc countries and was buying a wig, a very red hair wig, you know. But always the people on the border always said, Hare Krishna, to me. Took the wig and threw it in their faces, you know. It's also like this when you are a Mormon, you know, and you're from somehow from America, these Mormon preachers, they can try to hide themselves, but you always know. When I meet these people, I always start saying to them, "Do you know the Book of Mormon?" That's how they entangle you when they meet you on the street, you know. So I say it first, you know, "Do you know the Book of Mormon?" I just wanted to say this to you. You look like a Mormon. When you properly chant, you will look like a Hare Krishna, like an ecstatic person, a lover of God. You will look like this. So finally, in his journey, it's a long, complex journey, and I encourage you to read it. We have this beautiful, beautiful translation of Gopi Paranadana and his editorial staff, who have sweated over the text for a few years and come up with a remarkably good rendition of this difficult Vaishnav Granth. It is clear, it is comprehensive, and absolutely capturing the mind. It happens to be one of my many favorite books of so on. So while he makes this journey, he comes to the planet of, let remember the name of this planetary constellations of the saints. Is it Tapaloka or Janaloka? Janaloka, where he meets the saint Pipalayana. And he meets these saints who sit there in meditation and who train him in meditation. And he's very, very impressed by their teachings. But he continues his journey until finally he meets the Vishnu Dutas when he is just on his way to Vaikuntha, just before Vaikuntha. And there a very meaningful conversation takes place, which is something I really want to focus on now, because it will reveal a secret. The Vishnu Dutas tell him, you know, he has just left the material universe. He has penetrated the layers of the material universe, and he is in the Brahman effulgence, and he struggles because he doesn't want to lose his identity. But from time to time, by the power of chanting the mantra, he sees how the effulgence, which threatens to swallow up his identity, gives way and reveals the beautiful smiling face of, yeah, Krishna is always right, but more specific, what is his name? The name of the mantra, Madan Gopal. You have listened, half of you. So he is saved by Madan Gopal, but Madan Gopal then again disappears. And as he is just about to feel like dissolving, he hears the sound of kirtan, and Shiva comes by, engaging in kirtan. And a little later, the Vishnu Dutas come, and they tell him about the potency of the holy name. They say, Param Srimat Padamboja Sada Sangat Yapekshaya Nama Sankirtana Prayam Vishudam Bhaktim Achara. Hey, Gop Kumar, simply practice pure devotional service, mainly in the form of Nam Sankirtan, with the hope of gaining the eternal contact of the Lord's divine lotus feet. This is, if you want to take notes, the first secret: to chant the name with a hope. It's called an asha bandha. It's a hope which pulls you to gain the eternal contact of the Lord's divine lotus feet. I, for instance, sit here before you, and I'm very enthusiastic because I have the hope that tomorrow my back pain disappears, because today is Amavasya, and 11:30 in the night, the moon, which has totally disappeared, will start to become a little fat again. It will start to wax, and then energy comes on planet Earth, and then you can zap that energy and become very strong. So I have the hope that tomorrow I will dance like anything, and this hope keeps me alive. So when you chant, my dear devotees, this is the point here, you must have hope. You must have an orientation. You must fix your consciousness in the direction of the Lord and hope to serve Him. That's why we say the mantra means, please engage me in your service. Now, it's very interesting. The Vishnu Dutas, the all-knowing Vishnu Dutas, know that Gop Kumar's mind is still full with the instructions on meditation, which he has received on Janaloka. Gop Kumar, the saints there had told him, by meditation, which purifies the mind, you can see the Lord. You can't see Him with these eyes. You can only see Him in a purified mind, which is purified by the practice of smarana, meditation. And he still has this. Now the Vishnu Dutas tell him he should chant. I don't know how you are. Have some of you meditated before you came to Krishna consciousness? You have? Do some of you feel now and attracted to meditation? Sitting down and just remembering Krishna? Some of you? No. Yes, some of you feel attracted. I feel highly attracted to this. So, there has been an ongoing question. What is better, meditation or chanting? So the Vishnu Dutas tell, we consider chanting to be the most excellent form of spiritual practice, better even than meditation, because meditation only takes place in one's own turbulent heart. You're dependent on your mind, which is sometimes cooperative and most of the time uncooperative. But chanting harnesses means captures not only the faculty of speech, but also it captures the mind and the sense of hearing. And also, the Vishnu Dutas say, chanting helps not only the person who chants, but others who sit around as well. And then they say, sound is so powerful that it can capture the mind. If you don't believe it, I invite you to go to Radhakund and hear the very impressive loudspeaker battles which take place each time, but in Kartik especially. And you will sit there and you will notice your mind doesn't follow you any longer, but it is taken away by the loudspeaker songs, because sound has this ability. If I would make a certain sound now, which I don't want to do while I'm in the Holy Dham, you would all become totally awake. If I would shriek, for instance, don't worry, I don't want to do it. Sound will capture even the sleeping mind if it's loud enough. So, but make no mistake, the chanting has to capture the mind, and therefore the Vishnu Dutas come to the conclusion, if by smaranam the mind is captured, smaranam is the best process for you. If by chanting the mind is captured, chanting is the best process for you. But in their opinion, and I mean they are highly Vishnu Dutas, or Vishnu Dutas, huh? They think it's easier by chanting. No? This is what they say. So we can surely we can see the emphasis lies on chanting in our tradition, and because it captures the turbulent heart, which is so uncooperative, and so on. Sanatana Goswami writes a very interesting commentary about this. He says, by hearing about Krishna, Krishna becomes bound by the one who hears with a very thin thread. I don't have a thin thread. If you hear about Krishna, Krishna will become covered, captured by this. But because Krishna is supremely independent, he immediately breaks the threat and moves somewhere else. Have you noticed this? When you try to hear about Krishna as someone preaches, you lose it about 2013 times, you know, because Krishna just goes away. But then by meditation, he becomes bound in a stronger way, by a rope. But because Krishna is absolutely independent, he pulls at the rope and then breaks it and goes. But Sanatana Goswami says, by kirtan, the Lord becomes bound with an iron chain. And that chain Krishna cannot and doesn't want to break. But it is chanting with that hope to attain him. It's very important. Disconnected chanting, unconcentrated chanting, chanting which is not focused on the Ishta Devata of the mantra, Krishna, chanting which is not mantrata chintayan, as Jiva Goswami says, meditating while you chant about the meaning of the mantra. Oh, Krishna doesn't become bound by that. So the Vishnu Dutas tell Gop Kumar, discreetly, forget about this meditation. Do Naam Sankirtan. On the way later, he meets Narada Muni, who tells him, on your way to the Lord, Narada Muni says to Gop Kumar, perform the Lord's Sankirtan as it has been described, and then you will finally see your own dear Lord, whom you have so long desired to see, the charming Sri Krishna Chandra, surrounded by the Yadus. But how exactly should this chanting be done? Gop Kumar has heard from the Vishnu Dutas, you have to hope to attain them. But later he gets the instruction how to chant the name. It comes in the third chapter of the second canto, and there is a very nice instruction, and I want to really tell you this instruction. Nam 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 tu sankirtam atibaran megang vina pravrishi chatakanam ratro viyoga svapate ratangi vagasya chakroshanavat prati. Chant like the distressed crying of the chataka birds on a cloudless day of the rainy season, or the lamenting of a flock of chakravaki birds when parted from their husbands at night. The sankirtan, or the holy name, arises only when one is burdened by this mood. It's a mood of longing. The chataka, and it's nice, there is a progression. Do you all know the chataka birds? I think we have heard in many lectures in the temple. It's a bird who will not drink water from the puddles of waters, not even from the rivers, but who will go directly to the water-bearing clouds in the rain season, and then drink from the cloud and quench his thirst like this. Now, in the process of approaching the cloud, he has many obstacles to overcome. It sometimes gives thunder, a rolling thunder, and flashes, and so on, and it's very, very dramatic, his journey. but he doesn't care. It's an analogy. The devotee, in a much the same way, will not take the sense objects of this world, which is like muddy water, worldly things, but he will always give that up in order to go to Krishna, even if his path should be difficult and some thunder and some flashes are on his way or some obstacles for his attainment are there. Have you ever been really thirsty? Have you ever been so thirsty that you were ready to rob a bank? Oh, young devotees of the opulent times. My father was thirsty in the war. When he was before Stalingrad, a town in Russia, there was no water. And he told us that the soldiers of the German army who were tortured by thirst started to open their veins and drink their blood. It was so terrible. Hare Krishna. No need to go into further details. What else they drank, you can imagine yourself. So when a Chataki bird has not drunken for the whole year and sees the rain cloud, my God, so much urge is there, so much desire, so much need, existential need is there. I must have this water. So in the same way, a devotee should dress himself with the turban of eagerness and the garb of anxiety. I must have this great desire. Then the name will appear. Now this is an intense example. Another example is supplied. It's about the Chakravarti birds. Chakravarti birds are... I asked some people from the zoo about them, if they knew about them, and they said, yeah, we heard, but it's an Indian. Maybe the Indian birds are like this. So the Chakravarti, there was a couple of Chakravarti birds. These were the Adi Chakravarti birds. They were on a branch in the forest, and under this tree where they were, there was a saint meditating, and these Chakravarti birds were totally over the moon with each other. Can we say like this? Over the moon. They were in love with each other, totally enchanted, and they made goo 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 sounds and everything. So they were so engrossed in their relationship that they fell down, you know, but virtually both of them fell into the lap of the meditating saint, and the saint was Brahmachari, and all of a sudden sees these two birds making family planning right on his on his lap, you know. He said, so he said, what are you doing? I'm trying here to my celibacy and all, and you are doing this. And then he cursed them. He said, may you never meet when you want to meet. So in the romantic night, when the one Chakravarti bird goes, moo moo, love, dear one, I'm here. And the other answers, moo moo, I'm here, dear one. But they always pass by each other and never meet in the night. After a few nights, they must be exploding with the urge to be together, you know, and manifest their mutual love. So, in the same way, this example is given to explain to us that we must try to get in our heart the desire to love Krishna, to meet Krishna, to exchange our love. Then we can chant properly. So this is the first instruction. Gopkumar
goes to Vrindavan from there, because in Vrindavan, I think you all have experience of this, the mood for longing after Krishna becomes manifest. I saw some of you today at the Surabhi Kund, and we could really see. I looked at Burijan, who was sitting in a slightly elevated position in the dust of Braj, and both of us were signaling with our eyes, do you see this devotee? Do you see the devotees? You were really moved, because the atmosphere of Vrindavan puts this desire to yearn after Krishna in your heart, isn't it? One feels, this is the best place for my project to meet Krishna. And Rupa Goswami has explained that Mathura Vas, or living in Mathura, living in Vrindavan, generates in the heart the desire to meet Krishna. So Gop Kumar is informed now how he should chant, but to bring up this eagerness which is necessary to chant, he is directed to go to Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan this eagerness appears. And this is what I really want to now say to you, my dear devotees. Please make it a practice to come at least from time to time to Vrindavan. I think it is important for all of us. Please do consider coming again and again to these retreats, because you know, Vrindavan has this effect on your consciousness. It begins to influence that part in you where you have the least influence over. Should I say it again? The Shakti of Vrindavan exerts an influence which you yourself have to exert over yourself, but can't. I make it much more clearer. My dear devotees, in Vrindavan you change desires. In Vrindavan your desires begin to change by the association with the land of Vrindavan, with the atmosphere of Vrindavan, especially when you hear about Krishna and you actually want Krishna. Now it's very difficult to change the desire. You know, I've told myself so often, Sachinandan Swami, you should desire to be a pure devotee. Sachinandan Swami, you should desire to love. Sachinandan Swami, you should desire Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And my mind goes, would you please stop now? This is not how I work, you know. Desires seem to come on their own when you have contact. For instance, a few days ago I saw someone eating crackers, you know, crackers, wheat crackers, and I had thought, now for 10 years I had not thought about wheat crackers, but I saw this person relishing the wheat crackers, and I immediately saw in my heart the desire, I must also eat wheat crackers. Association so has this power over your desires. So the good desires which are helpful for you and which you can't just preach into your mind, they come when you are in Vrindavan, and especially when you are in a program like this where it's just about Krishna, 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 and then again Krishna, 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 and then in the morning Krishna, 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 then in noon Krishna, 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 then in the afternoon Krishna, 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 then in the evening Krishna, 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 and finally your mind gets it, you know, and also in the nights it's Krishna, 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 you know, it I want this, you feel like this is the program, this is how bhakti works. You know, this is how it happens. Especially it works in Vrindavan. So therefore, Gop Kumar on his journey
is sent back to Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan he gets this mood to desire Krishna. So briefly, as Gop Kumar chants in Vrindavan, Krishna appears to Gop Kumar. He sees, it's called a spurti, a temporary appearance of Krishna. And of course, Gop Kumar begins to run after Krishna. Then he falls into the Jamuna, because Krishna goes runs also. He's very fast. He starts running, and Gop Kumar goes after him. He doesn't see anything any longer, only bluish Krishna. All of a sudden, he's in the bluish Jamuna and loses his consciousness. Pong. Then he feels some invisible hands take him out of the Jamuna. Can you imagine who this is? Krishna, yes, you can never go wrong when you say it. And this, it's very correct today. And he carries him back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, I thought we should chant this ecstatic chant which Gop Kumar chanted before Krishna saw him. And I thought we should do this in Vrindavan. I think our Russian devotees who are more emotionally active will faint. No, no, don't worry. Gop Kumar says about this own chanting in Bhumi Vrindavan. He gets Narada Muni's instruction he should chant. I followed Narada Muni's instructions here in Vrindavan. And I went to see the many different places of Krishna's pastimes. And I sang the names of Krishna which are most dear to me. I sang loudly and sweetly, and I focused my mind upon these pastimes. And then I attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that it embarrasses me even to think of it. How then can I describe this to anyone else? So here are the names. Can you see? Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Everyone, Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda Nahe Nanda Kishora Krishna. There's something about this song. You have to really sing it, longing for Krishna, just like the Chakravaki bird and the Chataki bird. Then only it works, right? Don't sing it just, okay, let me sing something. But think while you sing of the names. It's Krishna, Gopal, Hari, Mukunda, Govinda, Nanda Kishore, Krishna. In the beginning, everyone. See, Krishna, Gopala, Hare, Mukunda, Govinda, Nanda Kishore, Krishna. Hashri Yashoda, Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevana Radhikesha. Everybody please. Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevana Radhikesha. Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevana Radhikesha. Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevana Radhikesha. Shri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda Nanda he Nanda Keshoda Krishna he Krishna.
Please sit down. You need to hear this now. It's a summary. This morning, you have all heard from Burijan Prabhu in his excellent class, The Turning Point. I have heard from many of you about this excellent presentation. He has said something which is very important for us. He has talked about what Krishna feels when the devotees turn to him and chant. I think we want to feel that our bhakti is not a one-way street, but it is a two-way street. Huh? So it's a very important to see that Gop Kumar's journey was, let me say, a journey which brought him to the point of eagerly longing for Krishna. And he expressed this longing in the best of all sadhanas, that is chanting the holy names with the hope to attain and connect Krishna. It does take some time before a devotee can actually long to meet for Krishna, to meet Krishna. But during these retreats, we try to accelerate the process a little bit, at least for the 2 weeks where we are together, or 1 week, it depends. So that we hear so much that this desire for Krishna comes into our heart. Now, what does Krishna, I want to also read to you about what Krishna feels when a devotee chants like this, you know, like we have heard from Gop Kumar how to chant, and you have chanted very nicely this song. Krishna actually speaks to the devotee, and he knows that the devotee has come to this state of longing or this turning point after quite some time. Most probably it took him a few incarnations. Prabhupada said about the devotees which he met that you had practiced this already previously in previous existence. So I'm convinced that when, let us say, when we have 100 devotees in a lecture, maybe 75 of these 100 devotees have been on this path in a previous life, or on a path which led them to this. As a preacher, I meet people when they meet Krishna consciousness, and there is something in their eyes when you preach to them, and you happen to say things which remind them. It's almost like they begin to recognize that what they already know but have forgotten. So my point here is, it is a process which may take sometimes many births. So Krishna tells to the devotees, O best of the devotees, for many births you have given up wife, children, material well-being, all for my sake. You have endured so many hardships, like cold, wind, hunger, thirst, pain, disease, and dysentery in Jatipur, in order to serve me. Actually, that last part is an interpolation. In order to serve me, you have done so many hardships. You have disregarded the many insults to your person. And sometimes you even took to begging to make for a living. I do not know how to repay you.
And so, my dear devotee, I remained your debtor. I asked you, what could I possibly offer you in return? If I would offer you lordship over the world, or mastery of the heavenly planets, or even mystic perfections, that would be an insult for you. How could anyone offer a human being animal fodder like straw or grain husk? Hence, though I am Ajita, the invincible, you have won me over. Now the vine of your good conduct is my only support. Krishna feels helpless when he sees his devotee yearning for him, longing for him, desiring for him. When he chants the holy name like this, you know, with this longing. Krishna is not at all neglectful. Prabhupada even says that before a devotee earnestly turns to him, Krishna makes arrangements for that living entity to return back. I think of this very often, that Krishna made arrangement when I was a 15-year-old boy, and a Rolling Stones fan. I found the devotees in a Rolling Stones concert, you know, and made up my mind I will be like them one day. Krishna's arrangement. Here is the mystery of Krishna's love. Krishna wants you, and someone who wants you will make arrangements for you, so that you will meet them. You can trust Krishna. Krishna has shown that he wants you by making arrangements. And you know, when you finally return to Krishna, what is the greeting words of the Lord? Well, from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we hear Krishna will say to you, "Where were you so long? How could you tolerate my absence for so long? Every day I was looking down that path, hoping when would you come? But you never came. You were not even inclined to chant my holy names. Then I decided you will never come on your own. But still I wouldn't and couldn't force you to come. So I came in the form of your spiritual master, and I instructed you and gave you the mantra." And then Krishna rejoices. He becomes joyful. He forgets that he was for long neglected. He says, "Today my life is fortunate. You have returned to me. That's all what counts now. Now this here is all yours. Enjoy this kingdom of God. I'm so very grateful that you have returned." Wonderful, Keshava, isn't it? Wonderful. When we hear this is how Krishna feels, we feel a little bit encouraged and maybe a little obliged. I should, let me do this practice of Naam chanting. Let me do, if the Lord wants, if he has given this for me, let me do, I will do. Summary. What do you need to take home from this class? The first secret of Gop Kumar is his eagerness to search for Krishna, which was born by chanting the mantra. The second secret, he obtains the association of a great soul and follows the great soul. That's very important. Follow the great soul, my dear devotees. That has a lot of power in it. Follow him blindly even. you know, first, you know, convince yourself with all logic, reason, arguments, doubts, everything European and American and Indian you can master. But if you have found out this is a person I can trust and this vision here is proper, then follow. No? Third secret, Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where this eagerness for Krishna is enhanced and accelerated. And, you know, keep this secret, follow it. And the third is the extraordinary power of the holy name to bind the mind to Krishna. When it is chanted, this is important, when it is chanted in the certain way, in the way of longing. Remember the two types of birds who teach us the longing for a need, an existential need to survive. You need Krishna to survive in spiritual life. And also you need love for Krishna to be nourished. By the way, if you hear about the Leela of Krishna, you will be nourished and protected. Leela is that which nourishes and protects you in all ways. Huh? Having said all this, I want to venture to look at the at the time. I have no wristwatch. What is the time, please? I'm sorry. 5:35. Well, we are still in time. I mean, it's still the time frame. Let me see. Are there a few quick questions? Really, thunderbolt questions. Viparkit has a question. No. Yes, your good name, Prabhu. Sanatan Yogi. Jagat Guru, Prabhu. Yes.
Thank you very much for wonderful lecture. Is it a question for morning lecture? Is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the great repentance for the offenses is burn down the reactions of the offenses, as I understand.
Repentance for the offenses.
Yes, it helped to overcome this offense.
Yeah.
So what would be the repentance for the unknowing offenses which we committed unknowing?
Oh yeah, I know. For this you need to go to Surabhikund. Yes, we can repent when we have when we know of our offenses, and we can feel sorry that we did them. But how can we feel sorry for how can we repent the unknown offenses? My answer to this question is, I think we have to be practical. The fact that we are in the material world means we have done quite something. And you must also know you are many lifetimers. You have had many lifetimes and many opportunities to do many things which turned your back to Krishna. So I think a general feeling of sadness to be so long in the material world and having done so many unknown things which we don't know is appropriate if you think about it. You know, your argument, your logic is, I can be sorry for something which I know I did wrong, but I can't be sorry for something which I don't know that I did it wrong, you know. But you can safely assume that there are many things you did wrong because you are in a wrong position in the material world as a result of this. I think it is this general feeling which is important of
of knowing I am in the material world, and that means I did something wrong. It's like a criminal, you know, who is in the prison house. He knows I'm, even if he has amnesia, you know, I must have done something which brought me here. You know, sometimes it happens that I had one relative who drank, and in the stupor of drinking, he got into a fight. You know, his name was Johannes Kemse, I even remember him. He was the piano player for the Rolling Stones when their piano man was not there. And he drank one night and then got into something, and then he was covered, and then he did something, and next morning he was in the prison. And he didn't know what he did, you know, after the when the intoxication went down. But just the fact that he found himself in the prison showed, oh, my, aha, yesterday night I did something which was not good. That's why I'm here. So I think this is how you can feel. You have forgotten by the power of the intoxicating energy of Maya, but you did something. The devotee feels like this. The fact that I'm in the material world, and also I have material, the fact that you have material desires means they have been cultivated over many births, you know. No need to know what you exactly did. It's enough to know now I have the result of this. this is what I would. I hope I have answered your question somewhat. You don't look absolutely satisfied yet.
Yeah. Maybe like in the case of our acharyas singing the songs of when they repent for... Like just giving us example, Narottam Das Thakur, he sings about, he wasted life.
Can you identify with these songs or not?
Like Manushya Janma Paya Radha Krishna Nabhadiya.
Yeah. I think you can identify with this, no? You will see, when you see the songs of the acharyas as they lament, it will strike a chord in you. Because you know, I am also on that, I'm on that road. They speak for me. I would say like this, Prabhuji, but I know our minds have not totally connected. I will try better next time. Maybe it's because I'm becoming now concerned devotees leave. You can come after this. I know we have not connected properly. And no, it's all right. Well, good. So let me end the program here because time is also there. I would like to request you, if possible, to get to your practice of chanting and complete your 32 rounds, ideally before the evening program. The evening program will start at 6:45. It is a very, do we have it will be a very nice slide presentation, which will be participatory. It's something you have not heard, and I need Devala Rishi and Kanu also. Yes, we need to make some atmosphere. Yes, so I see you all. Please keep your practice alive. It's good if you bring yourself into this practice of 32 rounds, so that tomorrow is it tomorrow the 64 rounds, it will fly by like anything. You will see. Maybe we are also taking you again to Surabikond. There is an idea like this, because it was very easy to chant there. Did you notice it was flowing by? Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. De de si ra de, Aibo!